Romans chapter 13, verse 8, love your neighbor. Is what it starts out talking about. And of course, we look at it and we go, love our neighbor. Everybody loves our neighbor. And by the way, we take that word love and we have, we've replaced that word love with righteousness. We love our neighbor at the sacrifice of righteousness. You know, we're like, oh, we got to love them. We can't offend them. We can't. No, you know, we love our neighbor. Let's look here in Romans 13:8, 9, and 10. Let's read it and we'll discuss it. And then we're going to get on to 11 through 14. Finish up chapter 13 today because that is my goal. 13:8. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And so when I was looking at this, because you know, you guys know I just don't preach a whole lot on love, right? I don't. I mean, not because I don't love, but because I just don't. I don't know. It don't matter. All right. So I love how Paul starts out with this. And Paul starts out with saying, don't owe anybody anything. Does that mean we don't go in debt? That's preferable. Because if you go in debt, you're a servant to the lender. Amen. You got to work to give somebody else all your money. How many know what that's like? Ooh, right? Yeah, all of us. And then those coming up, they haven't learned it yet, but they're learning it. I remember when my girls were all of a sudden they had to pay taxes. And then all of a sudden there's like, I worked for that, now I got to give it all away. Man, look at it, I got my check, this is what I should have written. And they're realizing, uh-oh, we got to pay. At 16, when they got their phone, I told them, listen, for the first year, we will pay for your phone. But when you turn 17, that debt is yours. And if you don't pay it, you have no phone. And listen, dad don't play. I'm just saying, I just don't, and I will not pay a phone bill for them, and so I mean, the good thing is they've never missed their bill. They've always paid the phone bill on time, but I did have one that would get a little lax, and I would say, hey, you need to, man, that's a sound that's glorious, isn't it? I hope they don't circle a whole lot. We may have to go outside and observe. So they would get a little lax on it, and so I had to go to them and said, hey, listen, this is a bill that you owe. Well, I pay it all the time. I've never not paid you. And I go, oh, I get it. You've never missed it, but when you don't pay it on time, I'm paying it. So my money is going out for you. You owe me, and so it's respectful for you to pay it on time. And they didn't get it at first, and then after we had this long discussion, and I said, okay, here's the deal. It wasn't real long, actually. It was a pretty quick discussion. I said, here's the deal. The next time you don't pay on time, you owe me late charges. And so whatever the late charges that they would charge if I were late, that's what I'm going to charge you for being late plus interest. And so how much? I said, well, you owe me $10 more. If you're late, you owe me $10 plus the bill. Guess what? We never had again. It was never late again. But more than anything, they realized, wait a minute, it's the respectful thing to pay your debt on time. Pay what you owe. And so Paul starts out and he says, listen, you don't owe anyone. You need to pay. You know, it's really funny, guys. When I had my own business, and this was the most amazing thing to me. I was in business, well, that particular business 15 years, but the people that never paid were Christians. It was only Christians that wouldn't pay their bills. And I'm going, are you crazy? And so I'm a Christian, you're a Christian, I did the work, you acknowledge the work is done, and yet you don't want to pay the bill. And I had one lady go so far as I handed her a bill, and she said, I'm not paying that. And I said, why? I mean, it was more than fair. She was a single mom, and I made very little money on her. Mainly, she was just paying for the parts and a little bit of labor. And but to give you an idea, I did a complete front brake job, pads, rotors, the whole nine, and I charged her $240. Right? Anybody has ever paid a bill, you're like, oh, that's giving it away. And she goes, I'm not paying that. And I go, why aren't you going to pay it? And she goes, it's your ministry. It's what you should do for me. Right? And so I looked at her, and I could have taken all the parts off the car and left it up in the air and went, there you go. And I looked at her, and I said, if you can live with that, I can live without the money. And I handed her keys, and I walked away. Paul says here, owe no one anything except to love one another. Christian, pay your bills. Pay them. I remember when I moved here and I said, okay, Lord, I will move to New York. I will be obedient as I'm sobbing about moving to New York. And I said, I will be obedient. Lord, the only thing I ask is that I can take my children out, my wife and my kids out to eat once a week, and that I can pay all my bills when they're due. I want to be a solid testimony for you. And that was the only two things that I asked God for when I actually said, okay, I'm in, I surrender. And you know, God has honored that. We were always able to take my wife and my girls out to dinner once a week, and we paid every bill that ever came in. Never missed it. Never. I don't even know how half the time. My wife and I would sit there and just in awe go, this doesn't even add up. That's how you know it's of God, by the way. And it just doesn't add up, but yet it still happens. And so we made it a point. And Paul says, listen, owe no one anything. Now you're to love your neighbor, except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. And guys, you know, the question is, what does it look like to love one another? What does it look like? Because, you know, we're like, oh, you got to love them. Well, loving them means we can't judge them. Loving them means that we can't hold them accountable. Loving them means that we can't offend them. Loving them, no, that's not what love means. Love means that you're not going to bring, now listen to me, because it's very important for you to understand love. Love means that you're not going to bring harm to that person. Did you hear what I said? You're not going to bring harm to that person. And so what does that look like? Well, you know what? I'm going to judge you based on the fruit of your lifestyle. I'm going to judge you based on the things that you do. I had a conversation with a young lady the other day, and I said, you know, you say you're a Christian, but your actions aren't showing me that you're a Christian. You say you're a Christian, but your dress, the way you're dressing, is causing doubts in my head. When I look at you, you know, you say you're an apple, but I'm seeing a pine cone. And right, you guys get the idea, right? And I said, I go, you know, God says, we'll know you by your fruit, and your fruit is not showing Christian qualities. I have to make a judgment. Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. I'm not going to look at you and make a judgment based on the way you're dressed. I'm just not going to do that. That's not fair to judge you as a person because of the way you present yourself. But your actions I can judge because your actions show your heart. So when Paul says, listen, first off, don't owe anybody anything, because if you love them, you're going to pay the debt. How many of you have seen or lost a relationship over $10? Right? They owe me $10. I haven't talked to them for 20 years because until they pay me that $10, they're thieves and I will not talk to them again. Are you really? Right? How many? You guys know what I'm talking about. Let it go. Owe no man nothing. Pay your debt. And then love them. Don't bring harm to that person. That's literally what it means here. Pay your bills and don't bring harm to that person. If you have to judge them righteously based on their actions, not your feelings. You know, because sometimes, let's face it, I mean, there's some people, I'll be honest with you, there's some people, now I'd help them out of a burning car. But short of that, I wouldn't have a whole lot to do with them. Right? I mean, I just don't like the person. Now, I'll love them in a Christ-like way, but I don't particularly like the person, and which means I'm not going to go out of my way to talk to them. I'm not going to go out of my way to hang out with them. I'm not going to do all that, but I'm also not going to bring harm to them either. You see that? You see what I'm talking about, guys? So when we're looking at this world and it's like, oh, you're to love them. Yeah, you're to love them. What does that love look like? You're not going to bring harm to them. Show them Christ by living it out in front of them. Hold them accountable if they're Christians. Right? For the word of God is profitable, and it is to do what? It is to rebuke and exhort. Right? It is to call them to order and to lift them up. The word of God is for both. And so Paul says here, listen, owe no one anything, pay your debt, and then love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Don't bring harm to that person. Look here in 9. He goes on, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Do you see that? He says, you should not do these things, because if you do these things, you're going to bring harm to your neighbor. So don't do these things, because love does not bring harm to someone else. It's pretty easy to follow, isn't it? Someone say amen. Or else I'm turning the air on and freezing everybody out of here. So literally, when you look down at the bottom, and he said here in 10, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love does not mean that we have to surrender to their ungodliness just to not offend them so they can see Jesus. That's not what love means. Love means that you're going to live Christ-like no matter what happens, and you'll hold them accountable no matter what happens, but you're not going to harm them out of a sinful heart, maliciousness, if you will. There's a huge difference, guys. And we got to grab this, because let's face it, we live in a society today. It's like the world's gotten all churchy and the church has gotten all worldly. I don't get it. Somehow, somewhere, we seem to have trade places, and I don't get it. And so then you hold someone accountable, and they're oh, you're all high and mighty, and no, you know what? We're gonna live godly. We're gonna do what's right. We're gonna do according to Christ, and I'm not gonna approve of your sin. And if that means you don't like me, then so be it. And if that means you're going to call me a bigot, then so be it. Or you're going to call me hateful, then so be it. But I'm going to live Christ-like, and I am not going to approve of your sin. But I'm not going to hurt you over it either. That's loving someone. By the way, you know what love really is? Love, and I tell people this all the time. I say, you know what? Here's the thing. I love you so much that I'm willing to tell you the truth at the sacrifice of our relationship. I get a lot of people who I know this is going to be a shock, that just don't like me. And they think that I'm incredibly offensive. And some people think that I like confrontation. Thank you. Couldn't get the word out. Some people think that I like confrontation. And I'm telling you, it's the farthest thing from the truth. You ask my wife, I lose sleep when I have to confront someone. I mean, it is a struggle for me. I got to go to the Lord in prayer. And I mean, like, I have to pray through this, and I don't sleep. And I'm like, oh my goodness, man, I gotta confront them. And when I confront them, I know it's gonna be a head clash, and I know they're probably gonna want to leave the church, and da 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 da, and it's gonna go on and on and on. But I have a responsibility, not just as a pastor, but as a Christian, as a brother in Christ, to confront you. I have an obligation. I don't like confrontation. But on the flip side of it, I won't run from it either. Because I love you enough to hurt your feelings with truth in love, even at the risk of the relationship. Not a whole lot of people will do that. So hopefully, if I hurt your feelings with truth, you'll go, I know Pastor loves me. It doesn't feel like it, but I know he does. and we can keep the relationship intact. So when you look at 8 through 10, 10 sums it up. Love does no harm to a neighbor. That's loving them, that you're not harming them, that you're being honest with them, you're being truthful with them, you're being upfront with them, you're being Christ-like in front of them, you hold them accountable. And listen, you don't, this frustrates me so much. We are willing to compromise our righteousness for the ungodly. All in the name of, I don't want to offend them so I can witness to them later. You know what's offensive? When you compromise your righteousness, then they look at you and go, wow, I thought they were a Christian. See, you don't hear it in the on the backside of it. You just think, well, if I compromise here, it's going to help them. Well, you might as well lie to them because there's no difference. And by the way, you're harming them. Had this discussion with someone, and the question came up. It was over cookies. And I said, they brought it up and they said, yeah, so my friend made cookies and asked me to try them out. And they were horrible. And I said, well, they asked you to try them? Yes. I said, they were horrible? Yes. Did you tell them they were horrible? Well, no, I don't want to hurt their feelings. And I go, so you lied to them? Well, it really wasn't lying to them. Really? It's lying to them. And here's what happened. Your friend trusted you. That's why your friend said, hey, try these cookies so that, you know, and see, let me know how they taste. And so you try them and then you're like, oh, they're really good. Right? And then what do? They make 1,000 of them to put on a bake sale. Right? Because they think that they got a great cookie. Nobody buys it. They're really hurt because finally somebody is honest with them. They say, I'm sorry, but that cookie is horrendous. You take it off the shelf. And then your friend goes and says, why did you lie to me? Why did you set me up for failure? Why would you do that? I trusted you. And so my point was, listen, that's what we do when we lie to them. We set them up. We're not helping them. Guys, don't compromise your righteousness. If you're going to love them, you're not going to bring harm to them. And that's part of not bringing harm to them. You know, it's even, you know, we look at it as, well, I didn't hurt them. No, listen, if you lie to them, you're bringing harm to them. Especially if they trust you. Don't compromise your righteousness. Love your neighbor, and loving your neighbor does no harm to them. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Verse 10, that's how you love your neighbor. Then 11, Paul gets a little more personal. In verse 11, Paul kind of gets just kind of in our face, which means I got to get in your face. So I actually preached on the first few ones so that you'll forgive me for the next ones. You just got to love me. Jesus didn't say you had to like me. He did say, though, you had to love me. Verse 11, Paul says, and do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now your salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Your salvation, what does that mean? What he's talking about is the rapture. The rapture is nearer than, every day the rapture is nearer than the first day you believed, amen? And so Paul, when he establishes this, he says, and do this knowing the time. Hey, wake up. You know, Jesus even says in the Gospels, listen, you know, you can look up into the sky and you can see when it's going to rain. You can see what the weather's going to be like just by looking up. Observe. Know the time. High noon. We can pretty much tell you when high noon is, right? The sun is straight above us. Observe. Know the time. Guys, we live in an evil time. We do. Listen, so we have a president who says we will not allow this lifestyle in the military because this lifestyle interferes with the efficiency of the military, which jeopardizes people's lives. So we'll not allow it. Then we have a governor who says, that's hate, and I'm ashamed, and will not be a part of it, and that's dividing. And I'm like, whoa, we have a government that is so divided, it is unbelievable. And so when you have your leaders supporting all this ungodliness, and then people start believing it. People start believing a lie to be truth. And then they start arguing with the truth. And now you ask Christians, well, do you believe the Bible's true? Well, I believe this part, but I don't believe that part. Why? Well, because society has taught me that that's a lie. And then they choose to believe society over the Bible. What used to be truth today is a lie, and what used to be a lie today is the truth in people's eyes. But truth doesn't change. Truth is truth regardless of what you believe, and it's not dependent upon you. It is what it is because that's what it is. And so Paul says, listen, and do this. Listen, do what? Love your neighbor. Don't owe people anything. Love your neighbor. Do what's right. Be righteous. And listen, do it because, man, the days are short. The time is at hand. Look here and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time. How many have ever heard your parents, you've heard them go, it's high time you start listening to me. Right? Yeah, okay, now you know where it comes from. Amen, it's biblical. So he says, and it's high time to awake out of the sleep. Guys, wake up! Wake up! You say, Pastor, I don't like you yelling.
Wake up!
What have we done? Listen, we have become, Christians, churches all around the world, not just in America, but all around the world, have become pansies. I'm telling you, pansies, little girls in tutus, pansies. Because we are accepting lies, and we're accepting ungodliness, and we're accepting people's lifestyle that is completely contrary to the Word of God, and we think it is okay. Well, I'm not going to go against them. Women's Lib, women. Listen, there's a movie that I can't remember the name of the movie. Some of you might know it. It's a war movie, and it's based on actual facts of this event that happened. And so we have this feminist movement who come out, and now they're all in uproar because they said there's not enough women in the movie. Because there wasn't women in the movie in real life. Well, we want more women in it. So how does it feel to want? And so we have all this, and then you know what happens? We get men and women who jump on and go, yeah, there needs to be more women in there. There needs to be equality. No, we don't need to change history. History's what it is. Teach it for what it is. We've changed enough of it, teaching our kids lies. And they're growing up and believing it. And parents say, oh, it's okay. It's not hurting anything if they believe that. Let them believe it. Really? A lie today becomes fact for them tomorrow. And then that's how they live their life. And Paul says, wake up. Come on, church. Wake up. Quit accepting the trash. Take it out. Stink is stink. So we're coming home on the bus from camp. And everybody's loaded up on the bus, and then I have to go down and stop at the gas station and fill it up so we can make it home, and give you parents your wonderful children back. And so I'm off the bus and I'm filling it up, you know, and everything's good. And then I go in and I buy donuts and drink and bring it out because we won't have time to stop it at McDonald's. And besides that, taking 20 people in for breakfast, 20 kids at that, who just stand there like they've never been there before. What do you want? This is all so new to me. And so I thought, you know what? We're going to ease the pain of Sherry and I, and we're just going to say, here's what you get to eat. And you know, when there's no choice, they love it. They eat it. No complaints. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Miss Sherry. And it's good. So at any rate, I fuel up. I go in. I pay for the fuel. I get the donuts. I get the drink. I come back out. I step up on the bus, and no joke, I'm not even kidding, I step up and go, whoo! The odor. That would never existed on that bus prior to all those kids getting on that bus. The odor was horrendous, and I went, "Wow, there are a lot of you that did not shower for a while," and it just kind of smelled like old wet dog. To be honest with you, you guys know what I'm talking about on that smell. Guys, we have to be real careful that we wake up and we observe the time. Quit accepting the time. Observe it and understand, just because man says it's legal doesn't mean God says it's okay. Stop it. Do you know why most people like the laws when they're put into effect? Because it pleases their sin. They can legally run around and say, "Hey, well, yeah, you know what? I can't get arrested for this anymore. Do you realize? I'm not even going to go there. All right, let's go on. I'm not even going to go there. Let's go. Verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Cast off the works of darkness. Listen, every time darkness falls, evil comes out, right? Nobody's afraid of the sunshine. They're afraid of what they can't see. And typically, that's when your robbers come out. That's when your thieves come out. That's when all ungodliness comes out, is in the darkness. And you know what? God says, we need to wake up. We need to wake up from the darkness that we're in. And we need to start putting on the armor of God. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 6. Go to Ephesians. Keep your spot in Romans. And I want you to go to Ephesians, just to the right, 20 pages, unless you have a study Bible, 50 pages. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. If you don't have this part highlighted in your Bible, or you don't know this part, you really need to do this, because this is so crucial to today, guys. So crucial for the need of us to do this today. Look here in 6:10. Finally, my brethren, who's he talking to? The Christians. Yeah, because see, the lost man can't do this. The lost man, by the way, the lost man thinks I'm crazy. If they don't know Jesus, they think that I'm a bigot, and they think I'm full of hate, and they think I'm crazy, and it's like, why are you even breathing? And I say that because I've actually had people say this stuff to me. In 6:10, finally, Christian, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, not just what feels comfortable, not just what you like, not just what works for you, but put on the whole armor of God. And the reason we put on the whole armor of God, because every piece of armor has its purpose to protect us, to allow us to stand in the days of evil. Look here in 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the tricks. That's literally what wiles mean, and some of you may have a version that says tricks. The tricks of the devil. Because listen, he is here to deceive you. He is here to take you off guard. He is here to capture you, to captivate you, and then destroy you. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about what you think. He doesn't care about what you do. All he cares about is taking you down. And so if we are to be aware of this, if we are to understand what's going on around us, we have to put on the whole armor of God. Because here's the thing. The Bible says that in the end days, Jesus said that he had to shorten the days. In Matthew chapter 23, chapter 4, he talks about the end times. And he said that he had to shorten the days because he says this. He had to shorten the days because if, that's a huge word. Two letters, but big meaning, right? If, you guys hear that? If it were possible, even the Christian would be fooled. If it were possible. Why is it not possible for the Christian to be fooled by Satan? Well, if he puts on the whole armor of God, he's prepared for battle. So immediately right there, if you're prepared for battle, that means that you are trained up and you're ready to go. Jordan's getting ready to go off to military and fight for our country and stand in for our country. And you know what? When he goes, man, he's going to be prepared. And they will make sure that he's prepared, just like God has made sure the Christian's prepared. If it were possible. Why is it not possible for the Christian to be fooled? Well, we have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. Amen? If you don't have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you, then you're not a Christian. If you're not a Christian, heaven's not your home. If heaven's not your home, hell is. And this just isn't a good conversation, so I probably need to move on. Look here in 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Listen, love your neighbor because they're not your enemy. Love your neighbor because that's not the problem. Look here, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We battle flesh and blood, and flesh and blood battles us. And you say, you just separated the Christian from the world. Yeah, I did, because we are separate. Be ye separate. You're a peculiar person. You're not the same as the world. You don't think like the world. You don't act like the world. Okay, that's the way it's supposed to be, but it doesn't always happen. Well, our battle is not against the other person. Our battle is against Satan, who is moving the other person to do his bidding. The battle is against Satan, who is trying to move you to do his bidding. And if we look here, we do not wrestle, in verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Powers, guys, do you realize the Bible also says that Satan is the power of the air. Now, not the air that we breathe, but think about this, the airwaves. Have you ever seen a time where TV is more evil? Man, I'm telling you, I would turn on a TV show that is regular TV. And the vulgarity and the borderline nudity to where I got, whoop. We finally just, I called up cable and I go, I just want internet. You can have your cable. It's trash. We have good service. Well, you might have good service, but what's on that service is trash. Right? Man, we used to not watch TV unless it was DVR'd. And now that I got rid of all that, I know why. The prince and the power of the air. Listen, Satan is getting in your home. He's getting in your car. He's getting in your... Oh, the electronics. I told my wife last night, I said, man, I hate all these phones and electronics. They're taking our children and destroying them. And parents, I'm going to say something that's just absolutely going to hurt your feelings. But remember, we already discussed how you got to love me. The worst thing you could do is give your children electronics and teach them how to use it at 3 so it's a babysitter. At 5 so it's a babysitter. Your children are off the chart, and you go, I don't know why. Well, check out their YouTube channel and see what they're watching. Watch the cartoons that they're watching. Have you noticed there's no parents in the cartoons? And the parents that are in the cartoons, they're just stepping stones. The children walk all over them. There's no regard for them. Have you noticed the law says, hey, the kids have the rights, and parents, you have no right to discipline them. You have no right to correct them because you will ruin their psyche. I will knock the snot out of you to ruin that psyche. And the law says, you touch them and you'll go to jail, parent. And the kid comes home from school because they've been taught, hey, if you touch me, I can call the cops and you'll be arrested. And so the parents, what do? Okay, do whatever you want, little Johnny. Do whatever you want. I know you're only 5, but go ahead. I'd be like, turn around, son. When you wake up, let me know how the phone call went. In your dreams. Guys, I'm telling you, Satan is attacking at every angle, and we're giving in at every angle. We are submitting, we are surrendering, and that's why Paul says in Romans, wake up! Stop the madness. You know what's right, do what's right. And we don't do what's right out of fear of what people will do to us that's wrong. Wake up. Okay, here's the bright side to all of this, right? They only have so much room in the prisons. So So they're going to take the first few, and if you're in the last line that gets arrested, there's nowhere for you to go, so you get to stay home on home arrest. Look at that. There's a bright side. Apparently not. Okay, let's move on. 13. Because of 12, because of rulers and the principalities and the wickedness that's all around us. Look here in 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Guys, God says He's equipped us, therefore we are without excuse. He's given us everything we need to stand. We need to stand in the evil day. And listen, He says, you stand in the evil day. By the way, we are in the evil day. I don't know if you've noticed that. Take up the whole armor of God that you can stand, and not just stand, but withstand in the evil day. Most of us are collapsing in the evil day because we think this is a joke. Or if this isn't a joke, we cast it aside because we don't have time. Or, I love this, well, if I follow the Bible, what will my friends think of me? Hey, live for your friends, die like your friends. That's what I say. That wasn't too good, but you know what I'm saying. Look here in 14. Stand therefore. What do you mean stand therefore? 13, take up the whole armor. Stand therefore. Stand that you can withstand in the evil day. Stand that you can stand when the devil attacks. Stand when everything goes wrong. Stand in the last day, because if you have the whole armor of God, therefore you can stand. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, listen, more than anything, the most important thing that you can have, the most important thing you need here is faith. Look at that. Above all, verse 16, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. All the attacks of Satan, you will be able to quench. You will be able to stop. You will be able to put out. Because see, what they would do is they would have their shields, and when their enemy would shoot fire at them, the shields would actually be soaked. It'd be like a leather padding up in the front, and it'd be soaked. So when that arrow hit the shield, it would put the fire out. Take up that shield that extinguishes all the attacks of Satan. Man, these kids that are coming home from school believing all this junk, man, and there's no proof to back it up. They stand on the argument because the argument's all they have. And yet they stand so firm, because here's what happens. Guys, listen to me. When you're not investing in your children, here's what happens. Somebody else does. And then they end up believing that person, and they don't believe you, the parent, who loves them, who will die for them. But you're the jerk, you're the liar, you don't know what you're talking about. And here this person in school, teacher, whatever, who they are, they have actually more credibility than you do. Why? Because they put the investment in them. Even though it's a lie, they're putting the investment in them. Parent, where are you at? What are you doing? They have 8 hours to have them in school. And most parents are working all day. They get them 2 hours, their kids 2 hours in the evening. And so then instead of taking those 2 hours to figure out what's going on in their life, to spend time with them, and even, yeah, sometimes spanking them, yelling at them, doing whatever it takes, the parents now are taking those 2 hours to love on them and give them whatever they want. Because they're like, well, I don't have no time with them, and I feel guilty if I yell at them. And so really what you're doing is you're promoting the false teachings of the school. Guys, I'm telling you, Paul's talking here, take a stand, wake up. Hey, you, hello. Ephesians says, I've given you everything, and you better have that shield of faith. Look here in verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all power and supplication in the Spirit. What are we taking? The Word of God, learning the Word of God, understanding the Word of God, applying the Word of God, living the Word of God, breathing the Word of God. Listen, it's all about the Word of God. When we take the Word of God and we live on it, life gets a whole lot easier. How many have ever experienced that? Amen? Boy, I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you, but I know one thing. When I take steps away from not reading the Bible and not following the Word of God, I feel myself getting weaker and kind of just wandering in a desert. Anybody else? And then all of a sudden you pick up the Word of God and you focus on it and you read it and you study it and you start devouring it, and all of a sudden this becomes your life right here, and you feel so empowered and so confident that no matter what comes up, you don't care. You'll stand there. You got that shield of faith. Put out the fiery darts. Because one thing I know about the enemy, he never quits. He never stops. 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. What end? The same end that Romans chapter 13 is talking about, the coming of the Lord. Listen, the day is here. The evil is upon us like never before, consuming anyone it can take down. And we as Christians, for some reason, somehow, we have just let it happen. Because maybe we're tired. Maybe we don't want to fight. Maybe we have the mentality of the older people. I put my time in, now let the younger generation do it. As long as you're breathing, your time's not up. Retirement may happen with the government, but it doesn't happen with God. Well, at least I got one amen in there. Here we go. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. Guys, are you noticing that this is all taking work? This is taking effort? And for some reason, we're so focused on just cruising and it being easy and life being easy. That thing is not going to do any good to anyone. It's just hovering there. Everybody look at me. Okay, everybody look at that little floaty. See the floaty? All right, now come back to me. All right, here we go. I'll stand over here. Everybody, look this way, everybody. There we go. Listen, it takes work. It takes effort. Being a Christian is one of the hardest things you're ever going to do in your life. And by the way, as the days go on, it's the least liked position that you can take. Which means you're not going to be everyone's hero. And you may even get talked about. Oh, and you might get called a bigot and being hateful. But when tragedy strikes, who's the first person that they call? The Christian. Take your stand, guys. It's a battle. It's a war. And by the way, those who don't know Christ, they don't know any better to think any different. But here's what we do know. We do know the difference between evil and good. Even the lost man knows the difference between evil and good. They see it. Make no joke about it. They see it. People see you. They watch you. All you got to do is be faithful to God, and you'll impress them. They may not say it out loud. They may not say it for a long time. But they're watching. Take your stand. Look here in 19. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul says, listen, even arrested, I'm not going to be quiet. May the Christian never be silenced. Go back to Romans, and we're going to wrap up. We're actually going to get out of here early. Oh, don't get too excited. And nobody better clap either, I'm just saying. Look here in 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Guys, who is he talking to? Who? The Christian. How crazy is it that Paul says, put off the things of darkness? Do you know what that means? That they're living like the world. Even in this day, Paul says, listen, the night's far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness. Quit living in sin. Quit accepting the things of the world. Quit thinking that you got to go with the flow. Stop it. One of these days I'm going to play a video. I think his name was Bob Hart. He had his own show. Is that Newhart? Newhart, yeah, I who knows, right? And so it's Newhart, and so he's playing a psychiatrist, and this lady comes in, and he says, listen, it's $5. For $5, I have the answer to all your problems. And she's like, really? He goes, yeah, $5. So she hands him $5, and she starts talking about what she does wrong. And he goes, stop it. She goes, what? He said, stop it. She goes, well, I'm trying to tell you. He goes, okay, go ahead, it's $5. So she gives him $5 more. She starts telling him about her problems. And he says, stop it. She goes, what? He says, stop it. She goes, I don't understand. He goes, what's your problem? She starts talking about what she does wrong. He goes, stop it. So she looks at him and he goes, the solution to your problem is stop it. Stop doing those things and your problem will go away. So the whole council session is stop it. So let me give you some wisdom. Stop it. Paul says here, stop it. Yeah, you got to look it up on video. It's funnier than me. So at any rate, Paul says, look here. In verse 12, listen, the night's gone. The day is here. Guys, the time is here. Wake up. The time is here. If you're a Christian, you cannot defend the sins of the world. If you're a Christian, you cannot and you do not have the right to live like the world. If you claim Jesus Christ, then you need to live like Jesus Christ. And you need to quit using this lousy excuse, well, I'm human. So what? So am I. And you need to quit using this lousy excuse, I can't. Because the truth is, you haven't tried. And you need to quit using the excuse, well, everybody else is doing it and I don't want to be cast out. You're a Christian. You're already cast out. Stop it. Paul says, stop it. Stop. You can't say you love Jesus and support homosexuality. You can't do it. You can't say you love Jesus and support women's lib. You can't do it. You can't say I love Jesus and follow the feminist movement. You can't do it. You can't say I love Jesus and vote for a crooked, twisted up governor or president or anybody else as far as that goes. You can't say, I love Jesus and support the things of the world. Cannot do it. Because the truth is, if you support the things of the world, you do not love Jesus. It's a pile of dung and you're just speaking out of your ear. Can't do it, guys. These people who say, oh, I'm a Christian. I've shared the story when I was on a plane and I was talking to this lady and she asked me what I did for a living and I told her and she's like, you can't tell women what to do with their body. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I've had 2 hours sleep at 6 a.m. I don't know this lady and she's yelling at me. And I said, I suppose you're talking about abortion. That's right. And she goes on with this whole spew about how wrong I am, how hateful I am, what a bigot I am. And I'm like, I just paid for this seat to sleep, not to listen to you. At the end of the flight, which was a very long and grueling flight, the lady who has been talking nonstop, she says, wow, that's the fastest flight I've ever been on. To which I responded, for some. And the lady behind me responded the same I did, for some. And I went, wow. So we land, and you know, as soon as we land and we pull up the gate, the lights come on, the dings, and everybody stands up. And so I stand up, because I can get away from her. I'm on the aisle, she's on the inside. The lady behind me stands up. She looks at the lady, and she says, as a Christian woman. And inside I went, yes, give it to her. As a Christian woman, I want to apologize for him because not all Christians are that hateful and that much of a bigot, and I can't believe he calls himself a pastor. To which I look at her now, I have a big mouth and I have a voice that carries. I don't know if anyone notices. Everybody's standing up. They're hearing this conversation. To which I responded, do you know John chapter 8 verse 47? And she looks at me. Well, I'm sure I've read it. Would you like for me to quote it to you? Go ahead. You do not believe the things of God because you're not of God. Yeah. Right? So here we have someone who says, I'm a Christian, but disagreed with everything that I said biblically. Guess what? She's no more Christian than that plane. And she'll never go higher than that plane. You get what I'm saying? And so my point is, guys, listen, we need to stop it. And Paul says, stop the madness. Darkness is gone. Daylight is here. You need to start showing your true self if you call yourself a Christian. And you say, Pastor, you're separating Christians from the world. I didn't separate them. Jesus did. I'm just reiterating it. By the way, this is my last sermon until September. So you ain't got to hear me again until after next week. 13. I might go longer just to make up for time. That hasn't happened yet. 13. Let us walk properly. Paul says, listen. And by the way, he's talking to them, but it applies to us. Let us walk properly. What does properly look like? Well, if you meditated on the Word of God, you wouldn't ask that question. Amen? Listen, the Word of God is our instruction book. And I know so many people are like, well, you can't believe that rubbish, and I don't believe in some fake big guy in the sky, and blah, blah, because he's not a big guy, he's God. And you don't believe today, but I promise you, there's a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. And by the way, when you're doing it, you better hold yourself, because you're going to be scared-less. You're going to be quivering. You're going to be shaking, because you're going to look at a holy, righteous God who said, I tried to tell you, I tried to warn you, but you were so full of yourself and you were so prideful and so arrogant and so concerned about everybody else. You had no regard for me, and now you'll answer for it. And we think, oh, God's not real. Hey, it's cool. Believe all you want. You know, I think about this watch. And by the way, I like bling. You guys know that. Nice watch. I got it dirt cheap. And when I say dirt cheap, I'm talking dirt cheap. Like on anybody's budget, dirt cheap. And but here's what I know about this watch. It's pretty. And it has a maker. And you can take every bit of material that is in this watch, and you can put it in a bag, and you put it in a cylinder, and you can put it in whatever you want to put it in. You can shake it up for as many millions of years as you want to shake it up. And I can assure you of this. If you take every individual part and you put it in a bag, a box, a cylinder, a bucket, or whatever, and you shake it until whatever comes home, you pick it, it'll never, ever end up like this. It took a creator. It took a designer. It took a maker. Just like you took a designer, a creator, and a maker. And just like our world out there, you look outside, oh, what a beautiful day. The breeze is blowing. It's still hot as fire for me, but the breeze is blowing. It's beautiful. Have you ever noticed how everything is so interdependent upon everything? Nothing can exist in and of itself. You cannot exist. I cannot exist without the trees and the plants. Why? Well, we need the oxygen that it puts off. How amazing that it takes what we breathe out, which will kill you, and converts it over to oxygen, which keeps us alive. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing that we have exactly what we need to sustain us healthy-wise. We know the good, the bad. We know what's going on, what we can eat, what we can't eat. God has put it all out there. You take animals, you take a cat and a dog, and listen, it doesn't matter. You can those two will never have Coggies, I don't know, whatever you want to call them, right? The Bible says that the two can never intermate. Humans can only produce humans. Cats only cats, dogs only dogs, horses only horses. Interesting how you go to Genesis and God says he put everything in place, and when you look at the sun and the moon and the stars, he says, I've given them to you for the sun to command the day, and it does. That you would know the years, and that you would know direction, and it does. Are you going to tell me that all this happened just to happen? A big bang and poof, everything ended up like it is? There's no creator, no designer, no maker. That's like telling me that you took that watch, you threw it in a bin, and you shook it up for 1,000 years, and poof, there it is. And you and I both know that'll never happen. Paul says, wake up. Quit being fooled by the devil. Stop it. Look here. And we're going to finish up with this verse. So much for early. There we go. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry, drunkenness, not in lewdness, and lust, not in strife or envy. If you notice, we don't like any of those things. And Paul says, and quit doing it. Look here in 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust. Paul ends up and he says simply, this is why you do what you do if you're not following God, because you are fulfilling the lust. You're not putting on Christ, you're putting on the world, because you know what? You desire the things of the world more than you desire the things of Christ. And that right there is your thermometer, your barometer, whatever you want to call it, that tells you your relationship with Jesus. It tells you where you stand. And if you prefer the things of the world, knowing this in the face of God, and yet you still do it, you know what that tells you? You're not interested in God. You just want to satisfy the old flesh, that being selfish and prideful, all about you. It's all about you. Well, it's not all about you. Now, you can make it all about you, and I promise you, you'll get the attention, but it may not be the attention you desire. And so Paul says, wake up. Stop it. Stop walking in your way. Start walking in Christ's way. Pay attention to the time at hand. Evil is upon us. Stop it. Take your prideful, arrogant self and stop it. Put on the things of God, not the things of the world. And if you're offended by what I have preached here today, you're probably living the things of the world. If you can't take the things of God, that's going to tell you where you're at spiritually. We're right about smack in the middle of summer. We got another month where kids are out of school. We got vacations going on. It's really an easy time to just put God to the side and live your life the way you want to live it and go, well, when September comes, I'll start going to church again and I'll start doing the things again. But this is my time. No, it's not. It is always God's time. And we will always be held accountable for what we call our time. Stop it. The darkness is done. The day is at hand. Put on the whole armor of God that you can stand. Stand in the day. Guys, we live in a most amazing time of history. For us, where we can make the biggest impact if we decide for God or for bad. Our choice. We're going to be challenged like never before. And how you respond is going to dictate your relationship. Don't tell me you love Jesus when you prefer the world. It just doesn't work. And if you're offended by this morning, you need prayer because you're not right with God. If you think I'm out of line, you need prayer because you're not right with God. And you say, I can't judge you. I didn't judge you. I judged everyone. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, and I were to ask you, if you were to die right now, do you know that you would go to heaven? If you were to say, I think so, I hope so, maybe, yeah, I'm a good person, I'm going to go. Well, the truth is, you're not. It's not how good we are. It's that we believe Jesus Christ is who he said he is. It's not the works that we do. It's the faith that we have in Jesus Christ who is who he said he is. It's that there's been a day where you have stopped and you said, Dear Lord Jesus, I need a Savior. And so if you're here today and you can't say emphatically, yes, when I die, I'm going to heaven. You need Jesus. It's real simple. You pray this prayer that I'm about to pray. But let me just share this quickly. The words are not what save you. It is, do you believe the words that you're about to say? That's what saves you, your belief. The words are just a roadmap to take you through the process so that you have a day where you said, nope, this was the day I made a decision for Jesus Christ. That's all the prayer is. That's all the words are. It's your faith. Do you believe? That's what's going to save you. So quietly in your heart, you pray this prayer. Only if you believe it. If you don't trick yourself. Don't fool yourself. And don't pray it in your head thinking that that's going to get you there, because God says it's with the heart. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession made unto salvation. Pray this prayer quietly to yourself. Dear Lord Jesus, today I surrender. Today I believe on you. I ask that you forgive me of all my sins. Today I repent. I'm going to turn from my way and go your way.